Let me ask you, what are some things that you like to celebrate? A victory by your favorite team. We all like to celebrate that, don't we? How about a birthday? Your own birthday, or perhaps somebody else's birthday. A marriage. An anniversary. Speaking of anniversaries, our interpreter, Diana Charbonneau, and her husband, AJ, are celebrating their 34th anniversary today. So, congratulations. Congratulations, AJ and Diana. How about celebrating a sunny day? A couple of days ago, it was real gloomy and dark. And then when the sun came out, wasn't that great to celebrate? How about when it's time to go on vacation? We enjoy celebrating that. The weekend, a lot of times we enjoy that when that comes around. Our day off, that's always a nice celebration. How about this one? A good report from the doctor. We certainly celebrate that, don't we? When a hurricane turns and goes out to sea, I celebrate that. I bet you do too. The 4th of July, that's coming up in a couple of months. And today we celebrate Memorial Weekend. The end of a school year, and it's a little bit different this year for the kids. They've sort of been at the end of their school year for a couple of months now. But, you know, we like it when school's over. Graduation, that's always a neat thing to celebrate. And how about this one? How about this one? The end of this coronavirus madness. Anybody interested in celebrating that? I'm interested in that. I'm looking forward to that celebration. One of my most memorable celebrations for me goes back to 2012 when I celebrated my retirement from the Air Force. I did it with my family up at Fort Meade, Maryland. After 33 years of serving in the Air Force, both active duty and reserve, I was blessed to be able to retire. For the occasion, all of my immediate family was able to come up to Fort Meade to celebrate with me. And as special as all the pomp and circumstance was with the kind words from my fellow Air Force members and my unit commander and the presentation of all the certificates, the best part about that whole day was just having my family there with me. And then to add to the celebration, we found out shortly after that event that Jason and Terry were expecting another child. And that turned out to be our granddaughter, Lydia. What a great celebration that was. Celebrations are great, especially if we're celebrating something that has long-lasting effects on our lives. You know, it's one thing to celebrate a team championship. That's great. We always enjoy that. But it doesn't last very long, does it? I mean, before you know it, it's the next season and your championship is in the past. But something like a marriage or a birth, that's something that you can celebrate all of your life. And we usually do with anniversaries and birthdays, don't we? How about something that we could celebrate for eternity? Wouldn't that be great? And that's really what we're talking about during this series for the past 12 weeks. Seeking relationships with people in our lives that would lead to an eternal celebration. The salvation of a soul. Joy. Joy is the next essential ingredient that we're going to add to our intentional relationship file that we're keeping up in our minds and in our hearts. An intentional relationship is a relationship in which we simply seek to intentionally love somebody like Jesus did, so that when the time is right, during that relationship, we can share the wonderful message of Jesus, the gift that Jesus wants to give them, the forgiveness of their sins, and eternal life with God. Here's what we've learned from Jesus so far during this series. By his example, by his teachings, when it comes to what it takes to love like Jesus did, the ingredients we need to have in an intentional relationship are integrity, being real, accessibility, removing barriers, grace, understanding that we're sinners too, faith, trusting God to be with us, intimacy, being willing to develop close friendships with people who are far from God, humility, putting the needs and the interests of others ahead of our own, tolerance, tolerating sinners, not sin, but sinners. Resolve, refusing to quit until we reach our goal, which is to share the message of Jesus with someone far from God. Urgency. Jesus' return is closer than it's ever been before. Time is running out. Mercy. Deciding to leave revenge and punishment in God's hands and to give people what they don't deserve. Investment. A willingness to give whatever it takes to help people find God's grace. And then let's add to that today, joy. Joy is such a wonderful blessing that Christians have because it's something that any follower of Jesus can have no matter what the circumstances are in their life. We can experience joy when things are going great, and that's fairly easy to do. But we can also experience joy when things are anything but great. That's the blessing of joy. No matter what, there is always hope in Christ that we find because we know Christ. That's always there, no matter what. No matter what life throws at us, we can always know that in the end, guess what? We win. We're going to spend eternity with God. We get to spend eternity in a place where there are no bad days, where there is no cancer, there's no divorce, there's no homelessness, there are no accidents, there are no evictions or layoffs, there's no COVID-19. One of the characteristics of joy is celebration. We get to spend eternity with Jesus. You know, hope in Jesus is something that we can and will celebrate, not just now in this life, but for eternity. That makes the celebration, if you think about it, of our favorite team winning the championship seem like, I don't know, a cheap Cracker Jack prize. I mean, it makes it nothing compared to the celebration we're going to experience in heaven. The celebration of a lost soul being found is the greatest celebration that you and I could ever be involved in. And here's the cool thing about that celebration. It's a celebration that we can experience over and over and over again. Not only can we celebrate our own salvation, which we all do, but we can celebrate every time someone else finds Jesus, receives the forgiveness of their sins, and receives that gift of eternal life. We get to celebrate it every time someone experiences that. It's a no-brainer, really, right? That's the greatest celebration of all. Can you think of anything greater than someone receiving the salvation of their soul? But here's the reality check that you and I need to ask ourselves and ponder. You know, in our top 10 list of life celebrations, we want to list all the things we like to celebrate in our life. Where do we find our own salvation? The fact that we were saved from our sin. Is that at the very top of our list of life celebrations? It should be, shouldn't it? Anything more important than that? How about this? How about the salvation of others? Is that even on our celebration list? Shouldn't it be? Shouldn't it be? Now, why do we follow our favorite team during the season? If it's a football or baseball or hockey or whatever it is, why do we follow our favorite team from game to game to game to game? We watch every game that we can. Why are we watching for the latest news? Why are we interested in the injury reports and the stats during the season? Why do we do that? Isn't it because we hope that at the end of the season, we get to celebrate a championship? And so we're following it, hoping that the season goes well, that we get enough wins, that we get in the playoffs, and that at the end of it all, there's a championship. Well, unless you happen to be a New England Patriot fan, most of the time, we don't get to celebrate championships, do we? They're rare, aren't they? But do we give up? No, we don't give up. Why? Because there's always what? Next year. There's always next year. Next year is the year that we'll experience the championship. So we don't mind following every game and all the information about our favorite team. Now, what if we had that same attitude about seeking an intentional relationship with someone in our life? You know, we seek opportunities to eat with people in our lives who are far from God and need God's grace. We eat with them. We talk with them regularly. We listen to the things that are on their minds. We help them when they have a need. Whatever it takes from day to day, why would we do that? Because we want to see a victory at the end. We want to be able to celebrate with them when they finally understand that they need Jesus and accept Jesus as their Savior. They cross the finish line. And so we hang in there with them every day as long as it takes until they receive that victory. Now, it's not easy, is it? It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot, excuse me, a lot of resources, a lot of energy. And I have some water coming. Thank you, Joe. It takes a lot of time and energy and resources. We talked about that last week. It takes putting that person's needs ahead of our own. That's a difficult thing. Humility is not a natural thing that comes our way. But isn't the anticipation of celebrating their salvation worth whatever it costs until we get to the victory? Now, I can tell you one person who would agree that the salvation of a lost soul is the greatest celebration possible. Jesus would agree with that. That's the reason he came. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three famous parables that illustrate to us just how important every lost soul is to God, no matter how they got lost. When a legalistic religious leader complained about how Jesus cared so much about sinners, and he's even eating with sinners, my goodness, it's atrocious. When he complained, Jesus told the story of three lost things: a sheep, a coin, and a son. There was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he discovered that one of his sheep was missing, was lost. Now, sheep are not real smart animals. They're sort of like my dog, Maddie. They don't have a whole lot of sense, and they can just wander off, and they have no clue what they're doing, and all of a sudden, they're three blocks away and don't know how to get back home. That's sheep. And when they stray away from the flock, and when they stray away from the protection of the shepherd, they're in trouble from danger that might be lurking around them. They're in danger of even dying if someone doesn't find them. So the shepherd, who cares as much for the one lost sheep as he does for the 99 which are safe, goes out to find the one lost sheep. When he finds the sheep, he carries it home and has a celebration. Luke chapter 15, verse 5 and 6 says, "And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.'" Now, why would the shepherd, he's got 99 who are safe, why would he take so much trouble to go and find and then celebrate finding one smelly, not so bright sheep? Well, because as Jesus points out in this parable, this is really not about sheep and a shepherd. It's about God and us. Verse 7, Jesus said, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." The shepherd is God in the parable, and the sheep is us. One person who is lost, separated from God, in danger of perishing, being lost, separated from God for eternity. The friends and the neighbors are the angels in heaven, who celebrated with you when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, and will celebrate with every single person that accepts Jesus as their Savior and is found. The celebration is not just for a sheep. It's for a precious soul, for you, for me, when we find Jesus. The second story is about a woman who lost a coin. Now, it was a coin that was worth about a day's wage. She lost it. She misplaced it. It wasn't like the sheep who just mindlessly wandered away. No, it was her fault. She didn't pay attention to where she put it. She'd forgotten where she put it. But still, regardless of whose fault it was lost. And it was important to her to find the coin. So she lit a lamp and she tore the house apart until she found it. There it is. There it is. Finally. Well, it's right where I left it. But I forgot I left it there. What does she do? Same thing the shepherd did. Celebration. Verse 9. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Why so much fuss over one single coin? Not worth a whole lot. Well, because the story is not about a coin. It's about us. It's about you and me. We're the lost coin. If we are not found, the consequences of an eternity separated from God will be us. Verse 10, in the same way, I tell you, Jesus said, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. As with the woman and her coin, every soul is precious. So precious that when one soul is found, no matter who it is, God and the angels in heaven celebrate. And then Jesus tells perhaps the most famous story in the Bible, in the New Testament, the famous story of this parable anyway. We call it the prodigal son. It's the story of a young man who decides that he no longer wants to live with his father and his family. As Aaron Chambers points out, he wanted his father to be dead. Well, essentially, that's what he wanted, because that's how you usually get your inheritance, is when your father dies. So he goes to his father, even though his father's not dead yet, and says, "Hey, can I have my inheritance, even though you're not dead yet?" So his father, because he loves his son, decides, "Okay, I'll give it to you." So he does receive his inheritance. The son takes his inheritance, and he goes off, and he wastes it in wild living. Soon, it's all gone. It's all disappeared, and he's left eating pig slop to survive. And as a Jewish man, you could not get any lower than having to work with pigs and eat pig slop. So he came to his senses, and he decides to go home. He decides to go and ask his father's forgiveness. Ask, "Look, can I just be a servant for you, Dad?" At least he would have a place to sleep and food to eat. And so as he approaches his house, his father, who had been watching down the road, who had been hoping that his son would eventually come home, when he saw his son coming down the road, he ran to meet him. He hugged him and he kissed him and he welcomed his son home. His father did not punish him for what he had done. He did not even scold him for what he had done. He could only celebrate the fact that his son who was lost is now found. And the father held a great feast, a great banquet to celebrate the fact that his son was safely home. Now the who's who of this story are pretty obvious. God is the father, and the son is anyone who by his own rebellion purposely wanders away from God. There's also an older brother there that behaves badly. There's some great lessons that we can learn from him too. Maybe another time we'll talk about the older son. But today let's focus on the lost son. We've all been there. We've all been there. We've rebelled against God, and we've rebelled against His call to serve and to obey and to worship Him and Him only. How many of us have squandered money and time and wild living of some kind, maybe when we were younger or maybe not so young? And we thought we were wise. We thought we didn't need God. Yet, when we finally came to our senses, as this son did, and decided to come home to ask for forgiveness, we need to understand this. God was watching for you. When He saw you coming down the road, coming home, maybe He saw you coming up a church aisle at a revival or some church meeting. Maybe He saw you coming forward during a campfire service at camp. Maybe He saw you come forward when you were driving along the road and you just cried out to God that you were sorry and that you wanted to come back to Him. Wherever it was, when you finally came to your senses and when you were walking back home to ask for forgiveness, understand this. God ran to meet you. He was watching for you, and He ran to meet you. Aaron Chambers points that out. I'd never had thought about that before. God ran to meet me when I came home, and He did the same to you. Think about that. The Creator of the universe ran to greet you when you came home. And then He did not scold you. He did not scold me for what we had done. No matter what it was, no matter how far away we had wandered, He didn't scold us when we came home. Now, maybe we scolded ourselves, and God wants us to admit our mistakes and commit to not commit those mistakes again. That's called repentance. But He did not scold or punish us when we came home. All of our sins are in the past now, never to be mentioned again. In fact, it's as if we never sinned in the first place. That's the way God looks at it. And then on top of all that, God and His angels gave a great celebration when you came home, because you were lost and now you're found. I think Aaron Chambers was right when he wrote, "What we celebrate says a lot about us." Let's think about the fact that God celebrated when we came home, and let that fact motivate us to celebrate when someone that we know in our life comes home to God. Let's get excited about the idea of helping someone experience that same thing that we did whenever we came to God. Let's get excited about someone else coming down the road and God seeing them and running to meet them, to greet them. And heaven celebrating the angels and God together. Let's get excited about somebody else experiencing the same thing that we did. Can you see it? Can you see someone in your life that you're seeking an intentional relationship with experiencing that? Can you feel the excitement, the joy of seeing someone that you've had a relationship with who decides to come home and is welcomed by our Father in heaven? Let's get pumped up about that moment and be motivated to do whatever it takes to help people in our lives experience the greatest celebration of all time, no longer lost, but safely in the arms of God. Let's pray. Father God, we are so excited to know that You celebrated when we came to You. You and the angels in heaven rejoiced when each of us who are Christians walked down the road ready to come to You, to tell You that we're sorry, to repent, and to commit our lives to You. You came and greeted us and embraced us. And You didn't scold us. You didn't fuss at us. You didn't punish us. In fact, all punishment is gone now. Thank You, Father, for that acceptance of us as your son or your daughter. And the celebration that you had, thank you for that, Lord. Lord, as we think about people in our lives, sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves and our own selfish desires and wants that we just don't stop and think about people around us who are lost. But they need that celebration too. Help us to get excited about that. Help us to be motivated like we would to follow a team through a sports season. Help us to commit ourselves to sticking with a person that you lead us to, that we already maybe have in mind, to stick with them until they receive that victory, and to get excited about it, to get pumped up about it, and not give up until the victory happens. So, Lord, help us to celebrate the salvation of people in our lives and be working every day to make it possible that more and more people can know your Son, Jesus. Father, we are so thankful for your forgiveness and for your Son that made it possible. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's get out there, and as the things are opening up more and more, we're going to have more and more opportunities to reach out to people in our lives. Think about a specific person, put a name to it, and pray about that person. Ask God to show you ways that you can eat with them, that you can celebrate a relationship with them. Maybe you don't have a specific name yet, and you're wondering, who could that person be? Ask God to lead you to that person, and He will. And then make your commitment to stick with them through the whole season, all the way to the end, to the victory, to do whatever it takes, all the resources needed, all these ingredients that we've been putting away in our intentional relationship file. Let's make that commitment so in the end we can have a wonderful celebration with God and with His angels. Let's all do that together.